Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with author Lyle Blackburn. In the first part of our conversation with Lyle Blackburn, we talked about the Fauk monster. Today, we're going to talk about other monsters reported across the United States, including the Texas Bigfoot, Momo, a Missouri monster, and the Mothman of Point Pleasant. Lyle, you've written several different books, including a book about each of those monsters and others. Let's start with the Texas Bigfoot. Does he look like the Bigfoot that we all think of in our minds? Is he different than that? Are there some similarities?
Yes. I mean, descriptions of a Bigfoot in Texas, you know, are pretty much consistent with any others around the country. I wrote a book called Texas Bigfoot because, you know, therein I cover the history of sightings and incidents that are specific to Texas, because believe it or not, there has been a huge number of reports and sightings of Bigfoot-like creatures that have come out of the state. You know, most people find that surprising because you kind of picture Texas as this sort of cowboy landscape, kind of open and open ranges and ranches and all this sort of stuff, where you wouldn't think a Bigfoot could even exist or hide. And certainly there is that sort of geography in Texas, but a good third of the state is what's known as the piney woods, and mm-hmm. It is a heavily forested, piney hardwood area where if you go there, you just think, yeah, this is total Bigfoot type area. And there's even swampy areas, you know, I mean, we're close to Louisiana. And not to say that there aren't some really cool Bigfoot stories out in the central and western portions where it is even weirder. And there's some really spooky and weird ones from out there that were carried in newspaper reports and documented over the years. So, you know, it's a really, really interesting thing when you kind of study an area or a state as a whole. But certainly it kind of, you know, you get in the northeast part of Texas, it's really just blends right up into the Fauk area. In fact, the Sulphur River starts in Texas and then runs through Fauk and, you know, goes down into northern Louisiana. So I may call this a Texas Bigfoot, but heck, it could very well be the Fauk monster that wandered a little far from his home and crossed over into Texas. So the creatures themselves don't care about our boundaries, but these are, you know, a good way to sort of build some boundaries of where you can write a book. Otherwise, if you just, I mean, there's so many sightings everywhere, you could just never ending.
When you said spooky and scary stories, I have to hear one. Do you know one off the top of your head you can share?
One that always stood out to me, I've written about it in a couple of my books, is one that occurred back in the 2000s on the very, very eastern edge of Texas, right up near the Sabine River. And the Sabine is a long, winding river that separates the boundary between Texas and Louisiana. And this guy, Paul Matlock, he's a longtime hunter, and he was going to do some hog hunting. And to get to the area where he was going to hunt, he had to get there by boat up the river. So he and his cousin went out there one morning very early before the sun was up and got in their boat and went down to their respective hunting spots. And he got up in a tree stand. It was hog hunting, so he had thrown some, you know, scraps, food scraps out there to kind of draw him in. And he got up in the tree stand and just sat and waited. And as the sun started coming up, he could hear those hogs coming in there towards the food scraps. And he's looking at those kind of coming in from the left, waiting to get a good shot at them. And then he notices something to his right, kind of shadowy, and it was moving between the trees, almost like leaping from one tree to another very stealthily. As the light got better and as the hogs got closer, he could see that this looked like some sort of an ape type creature. And it was very big, probably stood 6 or 7 feet tall. And it was moving so silently that, of course, the hogs did not see it or anything. And he watched as this thing got close enough to where it eventually just jumped out, leaped on a hog, picked the thing up, threw it against a tree, and killed it. All the rest of the hogs squealed and took off running. This thing jumped over there and pounced on the hog and you know, finished it off. And this hunter is watching in complete disbelief, and he's looking at it through his scope. And then it picks up the hog and starts to walk off. And at that point, the hunter said, Paul said that it just looked right up at him in the tree stand. He was like, he knew he was there. And, you know, you're in the domain of Bigfoot now. And he said, it just was the scariest thing ever. And of course you say, well, how, you know, why didn't you shoot it? And he said, you know, it crossed my mind, but at that moment, you're just thinking, what if I miss? What if I don't knock it down? This thing just killed 200-pound hog.
I was going to say,
problem.
Those hogs are big.
Those hogs are big, and they're very nasty and dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, he's like, I'm not going to shoot it. And then all of a sudden, he hears this whoop sort of sound coming from the deeper woods. This thing sort of whooped back, picked up the hog, and just walked off into the woods. And he sat there for about 45 minutes before he was brave enough to even get down off that stand. Yeah, that was pretty spooky, and just thinking like, wow, man, that's scary.
Do you find that most of these creatures, monsters, live in a wooded area? That seems to be kind of consistent.
Right. I mean, the vast majority are in wooded areas, which makes sense. I mean, if these are biological animals and such, and ones that have miraculously sort of remained unproven, you know, the woods and the mountains and the swamps are the very area where they would need to live in a secluded way. Though, you know, oftentimes if they're moving, they're seen along riverways and places like that, places that cross under highways. You know, there's a lot of sightings on waterways like Boggy Creek.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there are some kind of, you know, they're credible stories where people have seen them. There was a sighting in Texas in the Panhandle near Amarillo area, which is very wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But three motorcycle riders came across this big hairy creature that ran out and nearly hit one of the bikes and crossed the road. And you know, you just try to, you can't quite make sense of why they would be in such an open area, except for maybe they're moving through or moving and they were, you know, just by chance seen. But I think it would be something like they're moving through. It's not a place where they could take up residence in any way. There would be a whole lot more sightings, I think. But it's wide open country, so you would just have to be in the right place at the right time to even see them, even if there's not as much tree cover.
I want to ask you about a couple more books that you've written. Momo, a Missouri Monster. What is Momo like? Is similar creature?
Yes, Momo is kind of a similar case where in the early 1970s, residents in and around this town of Louisiana, Missouri, right along the Mississippi River, reported sightings of this upright, hairy creature. And in this case, they described it as having long hair that covered its face. I mean, it's kind of a scary description in a way. And one of the first sightings, it was holding what appeared to be a dead dog and blood all over it. And, you know, it was a case where, like in the Fout case, the newspapers picked up on the story, and then more and more witnesses came forward telling about their encounters and all this weird stuff. And the local sheriff organized a posse and went up there on this area called Marzoff Hill, where it was primarily seen. And I mean, 20 deputies or volunteers were literally hunting for a monster because people were so scared, and the, you know, these are town folks that they trusted. And so that story was carried far and wide through the Associated Press and everything else. Though it's not as famous because there was not a movie made about it, like right. in The Legend of Boggy Creek. But MOMO is short for Missouri, the abbreviation for Missouri, M-O, and then monster. So MOMO became what they called it. Even if it kind of sounds like a soft and cuddly name.
But I know, that's actually what I thought. Because when I saw MOMO, I thought, it sounds kind of cute. You know, in my brain, I'm thinking like a Sesame Street character. And then it hit me, MOMO, Missouri. I kind of thought, well, that must be why they came up with that cute name. The other one that doesn't sound cute that you wrote a book about that sounds terrifying to me is The Mothman of Point Pleasant. That sounds different than the others, but it really, really, really sounds creepy.
Yes, The Mothman is quite famous. And that was a documentary that I had been involved in and co-wrote the script. And I do the voiceover for a lot of movies made by this company, Small Town Monsters. Mothman essentially began with sightings of a winged humanoid creature in the area of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, back in 1966. And four people saw this bizarre entity out there in a wooded area north of this little town, Point Pleasant, along the Ohio River, and ended up getting the sheriff's department involved. And then subsequently, numerous people reported sightings of this thing that stood on two legs and had a roughly humanoid appearance, yet had wings and it could fly and it flew very fast. And that particular story was, you know, originally carried in the newspapers. And then an author and paranormal researcher named John Keel wrote a book called The Mothman Prophecies that came out in the 70s. And then in the 80s, a Hollywood movie called The Mothman Prophecies was made, which sort of loosely connected to this whole thing. That kind of made it more famous. And then in the years going forward, Mothman has become so big that the Mothman Festival, which is an annual festival that's been going on down there for decades, draws, I think last time it drew like 20,000 people or something. And I was there because I've spoken, been a featured speaker there. It's crazy. This little town of Point Pleasant is taken over by thousands and thousands of people who literally come there to celebrate this essentially a cryptid, a creature that has become famous.
Have there continued to be sightings of the Mothman, or was there just a couple, or has that also been kind of ongoing throughout the years?
Well, in the Mothman case, it was pretty much confined to that time period in the late 60s, though there have been some scattered reports in later years where people claim to have seen this thing. But there are other sightings and sporadic sightings of what we call winged humanoids or flying humanoids that occur in other places. And they even went back further in time up there in that area than the 1960s. They just had never been covered or publicized. So there's sightings of these flying humanoids, but I think in the case of the Mothman, it was sort of some bizarre something or another going on at that specific time period.
I don't know which one I'd be more fearful of, the Mothman or the Falk monster. I don't know. Either one I find terrifying. With all of your research on these various monsters throughout the U.S., what do you feel like? Do you feel like some of them are just legends, didn't, you know, maybe the sightings happened a long time ago and maybe it's just unexplained? But what's your feeling about it? Do you really feel like they exist? Because so many people have had experiences, it's hard to dismiss that.
Right. I mean, yes, though I can't prove it or even really say what these things are, there's no way that they can be dismissed. There's just too many reports and too many credible ones. And there again, if you get 100 reports, all 100 don't even have to be that were the creature. I mean, if 10 people saw it, that's enough. I mean, a one person, you know, saw something that's unexplainable. That is something that suggest that these creatures are out there. So, you know, I certainly think that this is not all just illusion or made up or whatever it is. You know, maybe people add to the story, or then once they know the story, they're more likely to think they saw the creature. But if you kind of go back to the original reports, the ones that put it on the map in the first place, those are hard to explain away. You know, again, no proof, but I feel certain that there is something behind these, whether it's a physical thing or a, you know, some sort of unexplainable phenomenon that we don't know how to define. There's something to these.
With all the books that you've written on the various monsters, is there anything new that is on your radar that you want to research, or you've heard about something that you're interested in?
Well, yeah, certainly there's a long list of creatures to cover. I kind of like the ones that have some sort of classic history. You know, they were part of these newspaper reports, and police, you know, posses were hunting in the woods for them and stuff. I really like those kind of stories. I'm always just kind of thinking which ones need cover. And, but I'm also kind of branched out there. I mean, you kind of get these sort of werewolf stories and other things that cross over into legends of skinwalkers and all sorts of phenomenon that sort of intermingle between cryptids and more paranormal or frightening things. So I don't know. I don't have a specific thing right now. I'm just sort of mulling over various ideas, I guess.
This has been such an interesting conversation for me, because my experience with this is zero, because I've never seen anything like this, but I've read about some things. So it was really interesting to get your insight on these creatures and monsters across the U.S. So I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
No problem. I do like sharing where people, you know, maybe haven't heard about these. So those are fun ways to tell people about something they may not have heard of, or maybe a little bit interested in. And now you can kind of take that forward and you have a basis to kind of look into it, you know, with a little more purpose. So it's always fun to share these stories.
And you can get information about Lyle's books and upcoming appearances at his website, lyleblackburn.com. Is there anything coming up that you're real excited about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those festivals, you know, it's funny because I remember early on, you know, 12, 13 years ago, I would do all of them that invited me, because there wasn't that many. Now there's so many Bigfoot conferences and paranormal conferences and things, I can't even do all the ones that I'm invited to. And I love to do them, because then you can, you know, you meet like-minded people. I get a lot of meet people who have good reports and sightings, and, you know, you can meet them face to face, and as well get, obviously as an author, you get feedback and from fans and whatever. But yeah, the Falk Monster Festival is April 29th in Falk, Arkansas, and that's always a really fun one. I'm doing one called the Bigfoot Roadshow, March 31st, April 1st in Louisiana, and it's kind of one that moves around. It does different spots, so that's kind of a cool one to do. And then there's a really big one in Canton, Ohio called Monster Fest coming up on June 1st and 2nd. And that's hosted by this Small Town Monsters film company that I've worked with and done a lot of film work with. And that has a roster of like literally all the who's who and, you know, cryptid research. So that's going to be fun. And my website lists all the other ones I'll be at. So anybody can check it out.
And it's LyleBlackburn.com. And thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial-free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thanks for listening.